The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
What's up, party people? It's your boy Ubiquitous from the Rock Solid Radio Show. Just letting you know to check out the Patreon page for the CSPN, where you can find exclusive paid content not found through the free outlets. That's www.patreon.com/CSPNmedia. Go there to check out exclusive paid content for the Rock Solid Radio Show, as well as other CSPN Media podcasts. This week's episode of the Rock Solid Radio Show is brought to you by Funko, fun at first sight. Funko is your home for exclusive collectibles such as their world-famous pop vinyl bobbleheads, apparel, t-shirts, hats, socks, and brand merchandise, including custom do-it-yourself pop figures, art books, and skateboards. And now, listeners of the Rock Solid Radio Show can enjoy 10% off of your entire purchase when shopping at Funko. To place your first order with 10% off, and to help keep our show free for you, go to our network website at cspn.us. Click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page, and from there, scroll down to the Funko link and place your order. When you get to the checkout, put in the offer code SHOP10 for your 10% off discount. Funko through cspn.us. Do it today. And now, let's start the show.
The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Yes, 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 yes. Doing it in your ear hole. Bringing it back to old school. Like we always do about this time. Coming at you live from the Rock House. It's the Rock Solid Radio Show. As always, I am your host, Young Rock Holiday.
Oh, Lord.
You know the name.
Here we go.
You know the name.
You and your dissociative identity disorder.
And that's okay.
For those of you who don't know, that is now the clinical term for multiple personalities disorder. But go ahead.
And I'm okay with that.
Of course. I'm glad you accept your...
Also known as Ubiquitous. Also known as Sir Speakeasy. And as always, I have two of my best friends. Yeah. God damn, nigga.
Yo, right into the microphone too, yo.
I smelt that.
Right into the...
And it smelled just like whiskey.
I thought you were about to say it smelled just like something else.
Ah! No, that ain't been in my mouth for a minute.
We can arrange that.
Oh, wait, I was talking about pussy, but, you know, hey, there's that.
We can arrange that, too.
Yes. Another episode my parents cannot listen to.
I would imagine it's most of them.
Here we go.
And we're celebrating a special event, this recording.
Yes. Yes.
But before we get to that, I have to introduce my illustrious co-hosts. First, of course, we have the ever-lovely Dr. Tam.
I'm drunk. I just want to let y'all know that.
Nice.
Okay. So, get ready for a wild ride, because you don't know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Or go into it.
Ew! And I'm a virgin. I don't do those things.
Okay.
10 years of marriage and 2 kids later.
Okay. And as always, we have the man of the motherfucking hour.
Day, week, month. Well, okay, not whole ass month for reasons. But yes.
Nigga, we giving him the hour. Always trying to do extra.
I'm good with the hour.
Okay.
The man of the hour. The guest of honor.
Yes.
This evening in the Rock House. For it is his 44th birthday.
Yes.
Y'all already know who he is, but I'm going to introduce him anyway. Because like I said, this is my motherfucking best friend. This is my brother from another mother. This is my dude who, when all the chips are down and I'm at my lowest point, this is the man who I call to talk to. Yo, nigga. My nigga. Ty Digger.
Yo, thank you guys so much. Like, it always feels good to get that type of love on your birthday. And I think everybody should get that type of love on their birthday, to be able to do something that they feel good about doing, that makes them feel good. And doing the show was one of the things that makes me feel good. And I'm glad that everybody agreed to do it today.
For real.
Out of all days. Like, this is what I wanted to be doing for my birthday. Like,
no doubt.
Awesome.
That makes me feel good.
For that sure. Does too.
I wanted to do that for my birthday. And you know what I was listening to on the way up here? Stay out the dark. When I catch you when the sun is down, run it, clowns.
He's already ready to turn up. The turn up begins.
Yes, now. Indeed.
The turn up begins now.
Yes, it does. You know what's so interesting? I had mentioned I was having a session with a client, and I'm trying to get him to get involved in an online community that, you know, is committed to his interests, because one of the things that he has a problem with is that he feels like he doesn't have anyone to talk to about the things that he's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I can relate.
Yeah. He was like, you know, well, I just want to focus on my mental health. And I was like, honestly, this is a part of your mental health. Like, being able to socialize with people who are interested in the same things you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
can definitely improve your mood and improve your thoughts, which is like the whole thing of therapy. But that being said, you know, I mentioned him. I was like, yeah, you know, I have two friends, because he wouldn't understand the whole fraternity sorority thing. But mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I have two friends that I get together with, and we, you know, shoot the shit about current events, sports, politics, just things that are happening in the world. And that's my release. Like, that's a break for my kids. That's a break from work. That's a way for me to process just all the crazy shit that's going on in the world. And that helps my mental health. That definitely improves my mood. So y'all are in a sense therapeutic for me, like us getting together and chilling and, you know, drinking, smoking and talking shit.
I can see that.
Is definitely the wave for me.
No doubt. I gotta say, you know, as y'all know, I don't usually like a whole lot of people in my
My mama don't like a whole lot of people around.
You know, I love Friday. I'm very much so the introvert and the misanthrope. I am.
Which is funny, but go ahead.
I am. Why is it funny?
Because you're a Cancer, but go ahead.
But doesn't that go into it? I mean, doesn't that fall right in line with a Cancer?
Nah.
It doesn't?
I mean, okay, so I get it from the standpoint of y'all being sensitive, and maybe you don't want to let a lot of people...
We withdraw into our shells.
And yes, and so you don't want a lot of people into your world because you want to protect... You want to protect yourself.
Our sensitivities.
Your sensitivities. Exactly. Like, you don't want that shit being fucking touched all the time.
Mm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as a Scorpio.
Right. So, but I will say that, you know, it is always a pleasure and a priority of mine, you know, to host y'all every week for us to do this show. And I'm not going to lie, you know, that little bit of time, you know, when COVID was really,
man,
you know,
super hella in these, real.
In these streets.
Still is.
It's still real. It's still real. Don't get me wrong. Woo. But I believe that all of us in this room have been taking the proper precautions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, when Rona was real in these streets and we had that little hiatus.
That sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I miss y'all niggas. For real. I miss y'all. So I say all that to say, you know, we're happy to be here today to celebrate the life of one of my closest friends and our brother.
Yes.
You know, Ty Digger.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody that showed me love today. Like, I really appreciate each and every last one of you guys.
No doubt. No.
Definitely.
We hit the man up with cake and everything. You know, a couple of bottles, you know. I'm smoking my man's out. And we're going to do it big tonight.
No doubt. So what's the first?
What's first up on deck? Good
well,
doctor.
You know, since since Ty have mentioned fucking DMX, I mean, we can talk about that awesome Versus that happened a couple of days
ago. It was amazing.
I didn't see it.
It was amazing.
I'm so sorry you missed out on that, because
it was just
great.
It was like being taken right back to college and high school.
High school, yeah, yeah. Because it was, you know, DMX versus Snoop Dogg, so, you know, had dog versus dog going on.
Gotcha.
And Snoop kind of, like, had that huge energy in the early 90s.
Yes.
And then DMX, towards the later 90s.
Going into the 2000s.
Kind of grabbed that energy, that same type of energy. Because if you don't remember, DMX dropped 3 albums in, like, 18 months.
And he really did.
Yeah.
All of them
were fire.
Yeah.
They all went platinum. They were fire.
Yo, he had 98 in the chokehold.
True.
Which is crazy.
Def Jam, period, had 98 in the chokehold.
It did.
It really did. If you want to be.
Because you had DMX.
The Locks.
You had The Locks. You had Onyx dropping the, what you call it, Shut 'Em Down album.
Which that DMX was on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You had Method Man.
Method Red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 98, then you had Jay-Z.
Yes.
Was on Def Jam. 98.
Yes. Yeah. And that's when, you know, 98 going into 99, that's when you had, like, Money Cash Hoes.
So I would say the Hard Knock Life album.
Yeah, the Hard Knock Life album.
The Hard Knock Life tour was fucking bananas.
I still haven't seen that documentary.
Oh, the documentary.
The documentary is off the chain.
I heard.
That shit was crazy.
Yo, I still remember, because, you know, obviously the album that a lot of, at least people of our age, when we think of Snoop, we think of Doggy Style.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Fucking classic ass album.
Absolutely.
And, like, I posted on Facebook, like, I can't listen to that album without thinking about, so, you know, just to take it back to Sacramento for a hot second, don't talk shit.
Because you knew it was rare. I was raring up.
You were. I know.
Oh, yeah. I was starting to shake.
I know. You were, like, going through withdrawal. Just, I haven't said shit about Sacramento all week.
Let's get to the part where we slander people or Sacramento's
going to
be on the list.
Oh, God. Anyway, being said.
Taking it back to Sacramento.
I went to Florin, and we, in our league, you know, we had a rival of Valley, but the issue is there was still a connection between Florin and Valley. And so we went, our track teams were especially close. And in 94, we went on this invitational meet together down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. So it was Valley and Florin taking this bus from Sacramento down to Arcadia.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
That was at least a good 6-8 hour drive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, on a bus with a bunch of high school kids.
Yeah.
Black, mostly black high school kids.
Okay.
And a school bus?
No, we got a charter.
How much debauchery was happening in the back?
Nigga.
I already know.
Well, you know, to be fair, the debauchery didn't happen until we got to the hotel.
Oh. I was about to say on the bus ride home.
Yeah. Oh, definitely the bus ride home.
Because this was an invitational, it was a national invitational. So
you had kids from all over the country. All them young high school hormones intermingling.
Oh my God. I had a boyfriend from New Orleans before I went to New Orleans because of this track beat.
All righty then.
But how does this relate to Doggy Style? Well, we...
Because, you know, niggas was in the hotel.
Well, aside from that.
A lot of people were in the Doggy Style position.
Yes. But that was the album. You talk about being on the back of the bus. That was the album that we were bumping.
Niggas were listening to
on the back of the bus. You know, somebody had a boombox. Somebody had the tape. You know what I mean? Even if they didn't have the tape, we were listening to that shit on our Walkman. Like, I cannot listen to any of those songs without thinking about that awesome trip that we took. And I didn't even do that good that track meet. I actually did pretty shitty. But
fucking all weekend kind of.
I really didn't get dick that weekend. I could have. I could have fucked somebody from Rochester, New York, but I was a little scary. I don't know why. Looking back, I should have taken that opportunity.
Nigga square back then.
Nigga was partying all weekend, talking about she don't know why she didn't do well in the meet.
But I do remember us going to Red Lobster, and you know, it was a large group of us, and the waitress was hella cool. She gave us like free crab legs and stuff. So that was like awesome.
Y'all played shitty and still got Red Lobster?
Still got Red Lobster.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't a team. The team didn't go to Red Lobster. It was a group of us that had decided, because there was a Red Lobster by the hotel.
Gotcha.
So there was a group of us who were like, yeah, let's go to Red Lobster.
No sprinkles for you. Sprinkles are for winners.
You might have got those church lunches with the ham sandwich and the cheese and the white bread.
and the cheese sticking to the bread.
The plain chips.
But yeah, like I said, I can honestly say that Doggy Style was the soundtrack. That and the Above the Rim soundtrack.
Oh, the Above the Rim soundtrack was...
Doggy Style was the soundtrack for my junior high.
Yeah, because you're a little younger than us. Yeah, just slightly.
What, that junior year in high school, Doggy Style?
Yeah, that was our junior year in high school.
That would have been, my 8th grade year.
Yeah, so 93 going into 94.
High school was amazing.
It really, the chronic drop when we were in high school.
When y'all were in high school.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ty. I'm not.
Y'all were just in high school when the chronic dropped, though. Like,
yeah, we
y'all
were freshmen.
Yeah, freshmen.
We were freshmen.
I about to say, because I was like sixth grade when...
Wolf and Chief Clothing dropped the fall of our freshman year.
Yes, it did.
Fushnikins.
Man,
we wouldn't check it for the Fushnikins where I'm from.
Oh, nah.
I didn't know what the fuck a Fushnikin was until Shaq did the song with him.
That, yeah.
No bullshit.
That nigga's messed up.
I really did not know.
Let me tell you something. I knew about the Fushnikins only because I faithfully watched Yo MTV Raps, and they were on there.
B didn't watch Yo MTV Raps because it was always in New York. And, you know, fuck them New York niggas, man.
Fuck them New York niggas, dog.
Never had that issue with New York. I understood it. I understood the East Coast versus West Coast beef. I got it.
What's funny is for me, being an LA cat, like, or a Southern Cali cat, well, I'm an LA cat.
Yeah.
You can call me both. LA, Southern Cali, IE. It's all me. I never experienced that beef. I never had that beef with New York the way that it was pumped up by the media and everything, because I loved New York music.
I did too.
Like, I loved East Coast music. I so did
too. I didn't reach to listen to the Rockefeller freestyle joint.
Yeah.
Yo, and I had heard that the Chronic was a shit in New York when it dropped. Like, hella niggas was.
It was, yeah. Chronic,
like,
yeah.
On the East Coast. It wasn't just New York. The East Coast. Yeah, it was
East Coast. Because that's an awesome ass. I, like, you cannot deny the awesomeness of the fucking Chronic.
Nick, I got into cruising because of the Chronic. Like, just getting in the car and just driving around. Just riding around on a warm day. Like,
niggas imagining they was on Crenshaw.
Yep. Niggas used to have a little area by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
On Sundays, niggas just drive their cars through the pool area, sit there, niggas shoot ball, shorties come half-dressed.
I mean, you know, that's niggas pretty much what happens in Cali, too. Although there may be, like, a cookout or a barbecue in the park.
Niggas start barbecuing sometimes. Like, it was always, that Sunday, it was always niggas something
come
to do.
Come through with 40s and blunts.
You know, shit might get missing, dog.
Hopefully no one shoots.
Nah, we don't really have, not in Lexington. We ain't really have niggas shooting like that. Like, it was a few times. Niggas
shit, shooting. My party used to get shot up.
I mean, shit happened in Sacramento too. I'm just saying.
Having some trouble over there?
Right. Can't get out the dope. It really is.
Yeah, but the battle itself was, like, amazing to
watch. It really was.
And it was good to see DMX doing well. Mm-hmm. It was real good to see DMX doing.
Is he doing well?
Yeah.
He been eating. Mad he don't way. Look like a crackhead.
Good. That makes me happy.
Like, he was, you know, lucid. And
I mean, he got a little gas when he was trying to spit his verses, but, you know, DMX.
Yeah, I mean,
he's older.
Yeah.
He ain't really been in the game like
he's
that.
What in his 50s now?
Yeah,
he's at least 50 now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
But Snoop sounded amazing. Like, Snoop sound like he can still do a show. And well, it kind of killed.
And kids, that's the difference between smoking weed and smoking crack.
I was about to say that. I was about to say Snoop. Snoop really dispelled a lot of the stereotypes to weed. Like,
right.
If you smoke too much, you can't, you're out of breath, and you can't really perform as well as you can.
Bullshit.
Nigga, Michael Phelps won a, like, 18 gold medal.
Okay.
That nigga was nigga, and
let me, and look, and let me tell you something. Swimming is a whole different fucking animal on your lungs.
Oh, my God. Dumb. Swimming, I get so tired after doing a half a lap in the goddamn
swimming
pool.
Swimming on your lungs? Is a whole different animal.
Man. I can give you a lap at once.
Man.
I can give you a lap. Now, the last three quarters of the last third of that lap,
it's going to be gassed.
I am gassed.
Yo, I give props to all swimmers, but I especially give props to those long distance winners. The bitches that be swimming to 800 meters, like Janet Evans.
Mm.
Nigga, that's endurance.
Yo, if I spend that much time in the pool, I'm ready to grab a shorty's ass or something like that, yo. I can't.
What about motherfuckers who be doing that Ironman triathlon shit?
Oh, I can't do that shit.
No.
The niggas swimming in the ocean and shit.
Swimming in the ocean, biking in the goddamn desert, running in the goddamn desert. Yeah, I'm good.
Dog, if you got a 2 mile swim out of me, that's success.
Nigga, 2 miles?
Nigga, I might give you
a quarter mile.
Maybe.
Nigga, I'm giving you about 250 to 300 meters, and then we're good.
And look, and at 150 meters, I might be contemplating just turning back around and swimming back in. I'm like, yeah, nah, this is not for me, dog.
Wow.
Like, I told y'all about my experience in the Dominican Republic when I decided to swim out to where they had the barrier. Did that shit, got out there, realized I couldn't touch the bottom. My foot touched a coral reef, and all I could think of was the movie Cocoon, and I started freaking the fuck out. Yeah, this couple from Spain had to help bring me closer.
I'm not gonna lie, I know that was probably a traumatic experience.
It was, but it was also embarrassing. So if you laugh, I get it. Yeah. I get it. I'm not mad. I can look back and laugh now, but like, in 2017, a bitch thought she was going to lose her life in the Caribbean.
And see, that's the thing. Like, I can imagine feeling that way. That's why I'm not laughing. It is an amusing story. I ain't going to lie. But I won't laugh at you.
That's kind of like my experience at Six Flags in the wave pool.
Oh, hey! That wave pool be gangster sometimes.
Yo, I was drinking that day.
Wow.
And frat from Atlanta picked me up. He had two shorties with him. He was like, let's go to Six Flags. Bet. We was drinking blue juice.
Oh.
Having a good old time.
Oh, boy.
We went to Six Flags.
Oh.
Yo.
Oh.
I got out to that wave pool. I was good for like the first 10 minutes. And then I told myself to slide my dumb ass out to the 5 foot area. Now, 5 feet is okay.
When it's still water.
How tall are you, Tyneka? How tall are you?
5'6".
Okay.
That's okay when it's like a pool.
So at least your head is above water.
Yeah, my head's above water. Yo.
But we're talking about a wave pool.
The waves started coming. And I couldn't get to the side. Yo. I was contemplating on some real nigga shit. I was contemplating, like, yo, should I scream out for help? If I scream out for help, I look like a bitch. So I was like, no.
Oh, shit.
I was like, ah,
holy shit.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let God. So I relaxed, and like soon I relaxed, that's when the water calmed down, and I just
floated back to the 4 foot area.
I lent myself over to the side, pulled myself out, coughed up a little water,
and said, I ain't never doing that shit again.
Yo, I laid on the side of that bitch for like 3 minutes, bro. Thankful of my good fortune, I'm like, yo, God really looked out for me that day, dog.
So what are you doing in the ocean?
I
don't get in the water in the ocean now.
I definitely don't get in the
You got me fucked.
Come on.
You got me
son.
Fucked up.
I can't see the bottom.
Actually, no, let me do that back. I will stand in the water, but as far as swimming out into it, nah, you got me fucked
up. I let the water go across my feet and all
that. Oh, y'all some pussies. I love swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, everybody say that shit until Jaws.
I'm about to say until the riptide. To the riptide, snatch your ass up.
Oh, my God. Well, I know that you swim parallel to the shore so you can get out of the riptide.
All funny games to a riptide, sweep your ass out to Greenland.
Oh,
that's exactly where the fuck they find you at.
Not Greenland.
The southern coast of Greenland.
Oh, that's terrible.
With a shocked look on your face.
Yeah, because it's cold compared to where I was. It don't get that warm in Greenland, bitch.
And you probably get there in like 30 seconds, too.
Oh, no.
That shit probably hits you like the turtles on Finding Nemo. You just rip it and rip it.
No, but for real, I love swimming in the ocean. I miss boogie boarding. That's what I really, really miss.
The only time I was really close to the ocean like that, when I was in Coney Island, and I just never had the desire.
You don't get into the water in Coney Island, dog.
I don't want to get stuck with a needle.
I stood in the water in Far Rockaway.
Yo.
And what did you see?
What did I see?
The water.
My life flashing before my... No, I'm just playing. No, I mean, you know, it's cool.
That's
but it's real. I mean, it's called Far Rockaway for a reason. It's real rocky.
I'm a dick, but like I wouldn't feel comfortable going to a beach in New York unless like I went to Long Island and was like,
it's all the same.
I'm about to say it's all Long Island.
It's all the same.
Unless you're on Manhattan.
The Hamptons are, you know, maybe it's a little bit better.
Maybe not by
much. Not that I have any desire to go to the Hamptons.
They just have more lifeguards.
I'm not trying to be around all those
rich
that's
where the white
folks
are. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Niggas swim in the Hudson Bay.
Like, I don't want to go to Martha's Vineyard. I heard it's nice. I heard it's beautiful, but I really don't have any desire to go to Martha's Vineyard.
What else we got on the list today?
Oh, I mean, we have a lot because DMX
Let's get
was
to it.
The ninth
I'm about to say,
topic that I wrote.
We're half
on
hour
this.
In. So.
Are we really?
We are.
Holy shit. I mean, so it's like, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with, I mean, okay, so what's really funny is I'm looking at this. And, like, the majority of my topics are really a mishmash of sports and politics.
Okay.
Like, I have the fact that the WNBA players walked off the court during national anthem in support of Black Lives Matter.
I'm with it.
Yeah, that was like the Seattle Storm and the New York Liberty.
Okay.
Like, all of the players in solidarity, like, in unity, walked out and went back to their respective locker rooms during the national anthem.
I'm with that.
I am, too. I love it.
Fuck that anthem.
Well, yeah, that too. Have you seen the patches that the, not only the patches, but also what they put in the dirt behind the pitcher's mound in baseball?
No, I have not.
Oh, you haven't watched
it? I haven't watched the games yet, no.
Oh, well, okay, so I have a husband who loves and salivates over baseball.
I mean, I'm obsessive over Dodgers baseball, but I just
haven't had a chance to watch games. No, he just loves baseball, period. Like, he was watching the Brewers and the Cubs today.
What's behind the pitcher's mound?
So, MLB, the reverse of that is what?
BLM.
Bam.
Cool.
So that's what they have. You know, they have the you know, batter from the MLB logo. But instead of having MLB on the bottom, they have BLM.
BLM.
And it's simple. black chalk as opposed to white chalk.
Boy, Trump fanboys about to lose their motherfucking minds. Boy.
Now, this is the okay shit they can do when there's no fucking fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Because you know if there were fans in the stands, these motherfuckers would be losing their goddamn minds.
Oh, well. Let them lose it.
And, you know, I got to give props. So, we did watch the Giants-Dodgers opening game on Thursday night.
Okay.
You'll be happy you know the Dodgers won.
Of course they did.
Whatever. Giants won today. That being said, so what they did is they knelt at the start of the anthem, and then, you know, some players stood up, other players still stayed, you know,
kneeling.
But, you know, players put hands on shoulders for solidarity. But the manager of the Giants, Gabe Kepler, who I remember playing, you know, in Major League Baseball, he is the first manager to kneel during the national anthem.
Mm.
So I'm like, all right, dude, I love it. But what I was saying about these patches is that, like, on the side of their uniforms, they have these white patches with black lettering that says, you know, Black Lives Matter. And something else. They have another one that says something else about unity or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And a number of Giants players have Black Lives Matter warm-up shirts.
I can dig it.
Which kind of leads us to, you know, a question that Ty had asked us a little bit earlier. And that's like, you know, what are our thoughts, opinions, and such on the number of white folks supporting and even protesting in the name of Black Lives Matter or protesting for racial equality?
My opinion on that is I'm all for allies expressing solidarity and putting themselves on the line for the cause as long as they're genuine and it's not something that's just a passing fancy or because... Exactly. That. Thank you. To the words right out of my mouth. As long as it's not performative, I'm all for it.
I'm there. I'm also, I think I feel optimistic about it. Seeing so many people get involved in the marches. Before, these crowds would used to be like mainly black. And you see one or two white folks in the crowd. Now, in some cities, it's large number, and we're not just talking in the United States. Around the world,
right,
it is large number of white folks that are protesting the police state that the United States is trying to get into.
Trying to,
like, I mean, if you look at Portland, like a lot of those folks there who are being attacked by the police are white.
That's
real. That's super real. Like you, I am heartened by the, and let me say that again so people don't say, oh, what? Heartened. I feel a sense of hope, of optimism. I really particularly appreciated the fact that you had protests in places where there is not a large Black population. Utah.
I mean, if you just remember the LAPD Zoom meeting, a lot of those folks that was going in on that police chief were not Black.
They were not. Yeah. They were middle-class white folks.
Like, they were fed the fuck up. Like, yo, they told homie he had racist eyebrows. Like, shorty told him, show some goddamn respect when you're being called
not
out.
Not racist eyebrows. Holy
she
shit.
She said you have some of the most racist eyebrows I've ever seen in my life. Keep them in check and show some goddamn respect when somebody's calling you out. Like,
fuck. How does someone's eyebrows look racist? My nigga.
Yo. Woo. I Googled that dude and I looked at him and I was trying to like imagine what does racist eyebrows like look like.
I
imagine they're bushy.
You know what? Yeah. They sound
and furrowed.
Reddish brown with white highlights.
I'm about to say they definitely have gray streaks. Definitely.
He definitely smiles, showing all his teeth.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, B, you mentioned performative, and I think, to me, the fact that these protests are still ongoing, even though they're not being covered by the media like that, kind of shows that it isn't just about performance. Like, I saw a video on Twitter last night of this grandpa who, drove down to Portland from Olympia, Washington. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, this police brutality, like, it's not right. And I'm coming out here to protest. And the guy was asking, like, you know, is this your first night? He's like, yeah, it's my first night. And he was like, what do you have with you? It looks like you have a leaf blower. And he was like,
I was about to talk about the leaf blower dads.
He's like, you know, it's a supercharged leaf blower that blows 110 miles per hour.
As for the tear gas.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. And he was like, you know, I heard about the dads with
the leaf blower dads. Yeah.
So I decided to be a grandpa with a leaf blower.
Okay.
And, you know, reporter asked him what it was for. He was like, it's for the tear gas.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, the leaf blower dads are in Portland. And during the protests, apparently what's been happening is during the late night, early mornings and everything, when shit really starts getting cranked up between the protesters and the law enforcement officers. Well, yeah, you know, I'm just gonna say law enforcement.
Gestapo.
These mothers, I forgot what they call themselves, but there's a group of women who will stand between law enforcement and the protesters, joining hands.
It's like line of moms.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And they join hands to basically form like a human barrier between law enforcement and protesters.
They've been doing that in Louisville too.
But then there are also leaf blower dads who have leaf blowers, and when law enforcement gets to shooting off tear gas canisters, they blow the gas and the cans back towards law enforcement. So that's where leaf blower dads comes from. That's where this guy is referring to.
Right.
I saw a line of veterans in Portland too, like a bunch of Marine veterans did the same thing as the moms did, join hands and they acted as a shield.
That's dope.
And a lot of those people are white. Like, it makes me feel like this is a problem that we're not going to end up giving to our kids. And that's what I always talk about. I don't want to hand this problem off to our little ones.
You know,
like, it has to end. It ends with us.
I sincerely hope that. I really do. But we have such a history of agitating against the system and being on the precipice of change. And little things are changed that appeases a number of people. And then whatever agitation was there loses momentum, and it's never enough to truly change the system. Like, racism and capitalism and classism and sexism are so deeply entrenched in the American fabric that, to me, the only way to really affect change is to kind of tear the whole shit down.
Oh, I agree with you.
But that scares me too, because I'm like, okay, if we tear it down, who gets to decide how to build it back up again? And how do we do that? And what does that end up looking like? Like, I'm not interested in another system that oppresses anyone else for the sake of...
Well, it's like Animal Farm.
Well, right. you gotta fight until you get that system, until you get that ideal government. Like,
but then you end up with these generational, you know, fights, basically. Like, every generation is going to
buck against the system.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be people who are offended.
Well, I mean, I get that, but the way we're going now, this can't continue.
It's not sustainable. Yeah, no,
this
not
model, this model is no longer sustainable. The 2,000 years of Europeans fucking with people, we can't do this shit anymore. Like, I'm almost halfway interested in another form of government just to see what the fuck it's like.
I don't think we need another form of government. I think we need to truly espouse the tenets of the government we currently have, because right now we don't. We have big businesses and a lot of money and corporate influence that actually run our government, when the government itself, ideally, and the way that it was meant, was for the people to be the primary proponents behind it.
I get it.
So I'm cool with the system of government we have. We have, on paper, we have the best system of government in the world. On paper.
On paper.
On paper.
So now, the way that it's,
we have to make sure we put people in power who are going to implement it the way that it was meant to be implemented.
Then we continue to fight until we get that. We can't get something little and be like, okay, we got this little thing, but yes, we're still going to ignore.
But that takes a whole lot of fighting against a tide that is already so strong against that sentiment. When you think about gerrymandering, when you think about what the Trump administration is trying to do with the census, these are all things that fight against that, because at the end of the day, what it's going to take is putting people in these positions in government who truly get it. And right now, we don't have that.
I agree with you. Then again, we keep on pushing. We can't give up.
I get what you're saying.
We can't give up. Like, again, like I said, I don't want this to be a problem that my kid is dealing with. Like, John Lewis died facing the same shit that...
But honestly, it's going to be a problem that our kids and their kids are going to deal with. It's deeply rooted, not just in American history, but in the world history. So, it's going to be a problem. I mean, what we can do is try to tear down the institutional racism that already sets people of color at a disadvantage from the jump, from the moment they're born. We can start trying to tear down some of those institutions to make things better, but racism in itself is always going to exist.
I mean, no, that's the institution I was talking about.
Okay.
The racist. Okay. I mean, it's always going to be bigotry. Like, somebody's going to always think that their color means that they're better.
Right.
Better than you. But, right. Like, the racism that we're seeing here in America, like, I think we have more of a say in getting rid of that.
I feel you. What else we got on the list? Well, we got 15 minutes before the hour.
I don't know where to go.
I mean, you don't, but I'm ready to turn up. I don't want to be recording when it's time to party.
We can't turn up, dude. No, I'm gonna go ahead.
Nigga, you know how large that file will be
Oh, God.
When I bounce it?
Go ahead.
We can always talk about your man, Kanye West.
Kanye is a touchy subject for me. You know this.
I was listening to Slum Village the other day, mm-hmm. and I think Kanye was on one of the songs.
Selfish.
With, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that, yay.
I mean, there's enough.
And don't be coming around my girl acting all Mr. Friendly, still the spotlight like Mr. Bentley.
I think there's so many of us that miss the old Kanye that this nigga actually recorded a song entitled I Miss the Old Kanye.
He did.
Like, yes. You know, a lot of us really do miss the old Kanye. Which
is funny because the old Kanye was an asshole too.
He was. He made good music though. He did. Taylor Swift would agree. But like, I feel weird when it comes to Kanye.
Oh.
And I say this because it relates to what you just said, and that Kanye has always been an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
He has. And so I wrestle with, do I have an issue with Kanye being an asshole, or do I have an issue with the asshole that Kanye is now? So the reason why that feels weird to me is because I want to give people the space to evolve, to grow, to change however they see fit. But it's hard for me to accept this particular type of change. But even verbalizing that, I'm like, well, bitch, who the fuck are you? What does your acceptance mean, especially to Kanye West? Who are you to Kanye West? True. You're nobody. So that's where I feel weird. But of course, I also feel very sorry for Kanye. So let's talk about what Kanye's been talking about lately. He had his rally last week. I feel like that was on Sunday after we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we mentioned anything about Kanye last week.
We did not.
So last Sunday, we didn't even mention the fact that he's talking about running for president. That wasn't even a subject that was on the list of things to talk about.
And nobody should take it seriously.
In the vein of him running for president, he had a rally last Sunday. First of all, one thing very interesting that happened was there were a number of people in the crowd who had on masks. People of all different genders, ethnicities, etc. And in all that, he chose a black woman to attack and, you know, do the whole anti-masking thing against. So there is an issue of black women always being like the easy target.
Misogynoir.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was a part of this rally.
I mean, that wasn't even the worst thing he did.
No, it's not. I'm trying to decide between the abortion stuff and the Harriet Tubman stuff.
See, I didn't even hear the abortion stuff, but the Harriet Tubman stuff had me like, this dude.
So, this dude, wow. The abortion stuff, he like broke down crying about abortion and said that like he was almost aborted, like his father wanted his mother to have an abortion.
Join the club, my dude.
Ultimately decided not to. He talked about the fact that he and Kim had discussed abortion when she was pregnant with North. And he was like, you know, I almost killed my baby. I almost killed my beautiful daughter. So there's that. And, you know, abortion is a touchy subject. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Earlier in the rally, he said that Harriet Tubman really didn't free the slaves. She led the slaves to move from working from one white man to another group of white men. So, like, she took slaves and put them in a position to work for another white man.
I guess if you're, like, being an ass about it, it's true, but she didn't take those people who work for the white men up north, they were actually getting paid. They had
it wasn't involuntary bondage.
Hello?
Like, they had a choice if they wanted to work there. They didn't like the working conditions. They
could leave.
They could leave. You couldn't leave in the South. Right. What bothered me even more is how a bunch of niggas got together and was like, well, you know, he is spitting some truth. People don't want to hear that truth. And I'm like, what? Like,
and then we also have to understand, like, the time period. Like, granted, we as black people still don't particularly thrive as a whole under capitalism, but at the very least in this day and age, you have a significantly larger number of black business owners. You know, you would have more of an option to work for a black boss.
We're not working for free anymore.
1850, whatever. You know what I mean?
We're not working for free anymore. Harriet Tubman risked her life to free
over 300 slaves and was a fucking Union spy
just to have Kanye West and some other live in the basement ass niggas diss her. Like, yo, one dude was like, and this is what I knew we lost as a people. One dude was like, she wasn't paid by the U.S. government till her husband died and she lived off his Social Security. Harriet Tubman died damn near 40 years before Social Security became a thing. And then people was like, well, you don't know that everybody knows that Social Security was in the 30s. That's a random fact.
Bitch!
Wow.
Bitch!
Like, it was a part of the New Deal.
Right. Only a major development in American financial history.
Can't nobody tell you. Most people don't know when FDR served and what he's significant for. I'm like, yo.
During World War?
He led us through the Great Depression. Like, maybe it's the 80s education that we received that World War II was jammed into our heads. So, you knew. If you didn't know any other president, you knew who George Washington was.
Abraham Lincoln. Oh, wait. Thomas Jefferson.
You know Thomas Jefferson.
Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, FDR, and Kennedy. And Nixon. You knew those.
You knew Eisenhower, but you didn't know.
You didn't know a lot about Eisenhower. I mean, and all you knew about Truman is him holding up the newspaper saying that Dewey had defeated him when he hadn't.
I mean, he also decided to drop the bomb.
Hello?
You know John Adams because he was the unlucky bastard that followed George Washington.
Yeah.
Nigga followed the guy, y'all. That's like being the starting two guard for the Lakers now.
Motherfuckers only know about Jackson because he's on the 20.
Yeah.
You have motherfuckers who still think Hamilton was the president.
Wow.
He's on the 10. Of course he was president. No, nigga, he was the first Secretary of Treasury. Like, what the fuck?
And maybe it's a privilege that we talk like this.
Nerdy brags.
I think that's what it is. Maybe that's a privilege.
Nerdy brags.
I think
it is. Y'all just want to show off your intelligence.
I think niggas should know who FDR is.
I mean, I agree.
Yo, especially niggas in places like Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. Y'all motherfuckers might not still have fucking electricity even when for the TVA. That stands for Tennessee Valley Authority.
FDR poured this country into the 20th century.
You know what I appreciate was the investment in arts during, and then please understand, I know how FDR worked with Democrats to fuck over black people in the New Deal.
We can't forget that.
We know that is a thing. No one is denying that. Nobody. But, like, we can't sit here and act like the New Deal wasn't a good thing for the country going through a goddamn depression. people needed to work, and he had invested in the country.
He pulled the United States out of the Great Depression without making a fascist state.
Well, to be completely honest, you know what really fully pulled us out of the Depression?
Was the war.
Yeah.
World War II. We was producing aircraft carriers around the fucking clock, dog. Like,
but the crazy part about it, we were still making money off of the war even before we got into the war, because we were still selling oil to the fucking Germans.
Oil and munitions.
And munitions and all this type of shit. Like we were playing both sides against the devil to make some money.
Yeah.
The Trumps and the Bushes made a lot of money during that time.
Oh, nigga, the Bushes made money hand over fist. Prescott Bush got his life during World War II.
Oh, boy.
He was probably disappointed when that shit ended. He was like, fuck!
What I'ma do now?
Get the bag.
What I'ma do now? So fucked up now.
What if he started the Korean War because he just couldn't let go of that bag? He's like, you know what? Let me start some shit in Korea.
To be completely honest, like, everywhere that we've gotten into has been for the sake of capitalist interests.
I mean, follow the money. That's history.
Yeah.
And again, that's why I talk about how deeply entrenched capitalism is into this system. We, like, literally get people killed so more money can be made.
Yeah.
We're risking people's lives just to keep the machine rolling. Instead of just simply instead of just simply locking everything down for a couple of weeks. Right. Make sure people have money to pay their bills. Or suspend the mortgage and put that shit at the back.
No, nigga, can you imagine what the fuck the homeless population's gonna be like once, like, the eviction moratorium is lifted? I mean.
And which is coming soon.
Yo, that extra $600 a week for unemployment ended this Friday.
Yeah, and let me tell you, that shit made a difference.
For sure. We were definitely able to manage this pandemic with the help of that extra $600 a month. And also helps that, as a mental health therapist, I'm an essential worker. So I was still working.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't in the classroom working, but I was still working, so.
Nigga was still putting in that work.
Yo, this shit's been crazy, man. Like, I mean, shoot, the stimulus was love.
Yeah, it was. It helped. I got my computer with that shit. I needed that for work. Yeah. See,
there you go.
I'm going to get a computer desk with the next round of checks to come
in. Oh, that's coming out.
It's coming next month.
Is it?
Can't wait.
I need, you know what, like, let me tell you what really sucks. And I saw my old supervisor today from my old job that, you know, I got fired from for doing dumb shit, but we're not going to talk about that. That being said, she came over to the crib to buy some masks. And we were talking about the fact that, like, we need a vacation, but, like, where the fuck can we go?
Right.
Where the fuck can we go?
That's the wild shit. Because I got all this time.
Nigga got hella time. And I can get money together.
Look, and I got a laptop. Right. I can work from whatever.
But, like, you know that there's only, what, like, about 24 countries that Americans can visit right now?
And none of those shit slap.
I mean, well, the DR. I mean, DR slaps.
Niggas drinking vodka and dying.
But DR got the Dutch Master factory shut down right now. Fuck them.
Why is that? Why did that happen? Because of coronavirus?
I don't know, but I know that I ain't been able to buy no chocolate Dutchess for the past month.
Yeah, you can't get. Dude at the gas station told me the warehouse shut down.
Yeah.
I heard they're not, like, didn't you tell me today, Duce, like, they're
Yeah, Duce's not in production right now.
I mean,
either.
Granted, Duce's not the best cognac, but you know, whatever.
It works.
It gets the job done.
There's the party going. It moves the party along.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is this not my first?
It's not my go-to cognac.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on either Martell or Remy Martin 1738 right about now.
I don't even drink any like that anymore.
You know, I used to see Henny slander, and I'd be like, you guys are crazy. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How can you slander Hennessy? But, like, once I started stepping up my cognac game, I was like, I get it.
You can't slander Hennessy. Hennessy is slander-proof.
Yeah.
I mean, let me rephrase that.
Hennessy is your first step to being a real nigga.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, Henny makes me wanna do things.
You ever seen a nigga drink?
I've heard that.
You ever seen a nigga drink Henny?
Makes me wanna go.
Hey.
But that's besides the point.
Hey.
You ever seen a nigga drink Henny and start coughing? And
I still remember that video on Twitter when that nigga had like that little bottle
spitting Henny all over the place.
Oh yeah, man.
Remember that nigga had that little bottle of Henny? He's like, I'm going to take this to the head. And he started coughing and gagging and all that. I was like, you're a bitch.
That nigga spit up all in the car, dog.
Bitch. Yo, but remember that other video when that sister took that Hennessy to the head and the dude was looking like, I'm in love. Like, I want to marry you.
I don't know. I don't think you should be dealing with women who drink.
I was gonna ask you, like,
Henny
would you
straight to the head?
Would
like
you
that?
Fuck with a woman who drinks Henny like straight to the head?
Absolutely.
I mean, like, bottle like this, gulp, like.
Again, absolutely.
That's the type of bitch I'll suck your gooch.
Young
shit.
Salad toss.
I wonder if my parents know what the gooch is.
Oh, God.
Of course they do. It's the 70s.
But my parents were teenagers in the 70s.
You don't think niggas were looking gooch in the 70s?
Y'all are wildin'. I don't want to think about these things.
You seen porn. You seen 70 porn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen that dry-ass head they give in the 70s porn, too. That shit don't look appealing at all.
That shit be super nasty. Like, you can't look at your spouse nasty the next day. Like.
Nah. Okay, maybe I'm thinking about early 80s porn, but, like, some of the older porn that I've seen, like, the head's just not as nasty as some of these bitches these days.
I can see that.
Yo, I came hard to a fucking blowjob video this morning.
Really now?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was awesome.
Share with the rest of the class, Dr. Tam.
I'm just saying, like, you know, like.
Is that video this?
Wait, the video that I was talking about or video?
The video of you coming hard to,
no,
the,
sir.
To the video.
No. No.
Fuck you bring it up for then.
Fuck we talking for? You not gonna recreate that shit? Bitch, shut the fuck up.
But no, what site was that on?
It was on a Twitter feed that I follow.
Don't you pull it up. Don't pull it up.
I'm
not ready.
I'll show it to you later.
That works.
Yes. But there's a few feeds that I follow that have some nasty shit on there. I'm like, all right.
More for nasty shit.
Which is funny, because weren't they, like, did they born porn from Twitter, or supposedly?
No, not from Twitter.
Tumblr.
Yep, Tumblr. Don't ask me how I know these things.
You already know how you
and
know
Tumblr's whack
and
now
that
since
sucks,
they got rid of it.
Because they have some awesome shit on Tumblr, sir.
Tumblr's whack.
All of my fetish shit? Yeah, man.
I'm so disappointed. As my son would say, I'm so disappointed.
Well, my Tumblr is filthy.
I remember. I remember.
You're both some perverts.
I'm not a pervert. I just like looking at perverted things.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I throw my laptop into the sun before I let somebody look through that shit.
My laptop is pretty clean because I mainly use it for work. So, like, if you went on a laptop, you just basically find work shit, MSN.com, and then basically, like, the games my kids play on a computer, Roblox, shit like that. But my phone, nigga, if I ever die unexpectedly, please come and, like, toss my phone in someone's campfire.
Into some fucking acid,
or, like, yeah, like, that shit... Woo! There's so many nudes and dick pics.
I'm just gonna break my phone in half right before I die. Like, as soon as I feel it coming on, I'm like,
There's a lot of shit no one needs to see on my phone.
Once I'm gone, I really don't give a fuck.
You can have that attitude too.
That's one way to go. That's not necessarily the way I'm going, but that is one way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have Litrotica bookmarked on your shit, yeah, it's just...
Well, when you've written for Litrotica...
Hey, bang, bang!
There's that.
Niggas are filthy.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Again, I just read about these things. Oh, so I'm not saying I actually do them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of doing them, have we talked about the NBA bubble? And I think my first question is going to be, do these guys understand what the bubble means?
Apparently Lou Williams doesn't.
It does not mean you go to a gentleman club
to see the bubble.
Dog, we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic. I know the NBA rep is on the lines like, yeah, he knows he can't be there.
Look, NBA, head of NBA security is on the line like exhibits manager on the one. Look, they said they had you at the Crazy Horse. They said you left with like 5 women. Nobody's seen you. Nobody's seen the girls. I need you to call me and let me know what the fuck is going on.
To be fair, Lou Williams said that he was only at Magic City briefly to get dinner. And we all know strip club wings are the best fucking wings. Hold
on. Time out. I don't give a fuck how good these wings is. Nobody goes to Magic City for the fucking food. Like, Gordon Ramsay could be behind that show with Rachel Ray cooking some shit up. Like, nobody goes to Magic City for the fucking food. Like, you've never heard Magic City in the rap video and niggas like, oh, the food is bomb. Nah. Niggas in there looking at scattered ass.
But that nigga went in there for dinner, all right.
Yeah. Look, he probably saw the brat fighting the bitch in the corner. Like, you just don't know what you see in Magic City.
Or grinding on the chick.
Or fighting the chick because the chick wouldn't let her grind on her. With the brat? Who knows?
Who the fuck knows? Who
the fuck knows? I love you, brat. I love you, Brad. Don't take this person.
Don't get the Rock House
Don't fight up. Us.
Oh, shit.
That's Chicago chick. Don't get the Rock House shot up.
Right.
Because we shoot back here.
Speaking of which, you know, your man is talking about sending these secret troops to Chicago and Baltimore, amongst other cities.
They don't want that smoke.
That's going to be bad.
I guarantee you they don't want that smoke.
That's going to be bad.
I
think they're already in Chicago.
No.
Not yet. Because Lori Lightfoot got on TV the other day telling
them, like, don't bring these motherfuckers here.
I'm about to say,
here.
Basically saying, you don't want that smoke.
We don't need these bitch-ass, hoe-ass niggas here. But, again, there is a part of me that, and I know this is violent and can never come to any good end, but there's part of me that hopes niggas shoot back. Part of me that really hopes that niggas are like, oh, this is what you want to do?
Read the room.
Okay. Let's show why you came here.
Read the fucking room. Like, you know these niggas are going to shoot back. Like, you know it's about to go down. Like, they're wilding out over this little shit. Well, to us it's little shit. But they're wilding out over some shit like a few police acting bad. You send secret police there and think these niggas are not going to turn it out?
I'll probably like this. You let the first one try to snatch somebody and pull them into the van, into the unmarked van, without announcing who the hell they are.
Both in the south side or the west side. In Baltimore, east or west side.
Go to K-Town with that shit in Chicago and see how long that lasts.
Wouldn't last. It wouldn't be good. I
want to go to North Avenue and try that shit.
Right.
I really want to see that shit happen.
Go over there off Eastern.
On North Avenue.
Eastern and an Olive. Over on Olive Street.
Hello.
The sale of nail guns is about to go up in Baltimore.
Okay. And on top of that, like, even Hoken was like, whatever protests we've had here have been peaceful, so, like, why would you send them here?
Right.
But here's the thing, he's only sending them to Democratic cities. Right. Like, Just hearing the president say that, I'm only going to send the secret police to cities with a large percentage of people that vote against me.
Right.
And we're going to pull them off the streets for no reason.
Right.
Whatsoever. And we're going to fuck around and rig the election that way. Like,
it's just crazy. Shit crazy, man. What else we got today? Anything else? Because we're about to get up out of here. I'm ready to get the party started.
Ha, you silly. We still didn't fully discuss what happened with Kanye, because there was other shit that happened after the rally. The rally was on Sunday. So on Monday, he tweeted that Kim has been trying to get him involuntarily committed, that he's been trying to divorce her for over a year. He basically shamed Kris Jenner and kind of in the process, like, slut-shamed his wife Kim in the process, because he was like, you know, the mother of my child will never, like, have our daughter North posing for Playboy. The mother of my child would never have my daughter North, you know, selling a sex tape or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, on Tuesday...
That's trash, by the way. But go ahead.
Dave Chappelle got on a plane and flew out to Wyoming. Guess I have a heart-to-heart with this nigga, like, yo.
You wildin', son.
You wildin', my nigga. Like, what the fuck is going on, son?
Mm-hmm.
So he did delete the tweets about, you know, trying to divorce Kim and, you know, all this, or, you know, and Kim trying to get him committed and everything. Kim released her statement on Wednesday and, you know, just basically said, it's hard to when someone you love is dealing with bipolar. There's really not much that we as a family can do. You know, we try to get him help, but, you know, it's really up to him. You know, he is a genius, but he's also, you know, tortured.
He's a brilliant but complicated man.
Right.
That's exactly the exact quote.
So I don't know if that confirms the whole she tried to get him committed type thing, but, you know, she's to the point where she's like, you know, he can't be filmed for the show, for Keeping Up with Kardashians. Like, no, you cannot film my husband. Which, in a sense, should really tell you that their marriage isn't just about publicity. And
no, she loves that man. She legit loves that man. And that's why I was telling y'all earlier before we were taping, you know, I know over the past, I've talked big shit about Kim Kardashian, the Kardashians, all of that. I have.
And I still do.
But my heart really goes out to that woman for what she has to put up with and knowing that she loves that man.
Yeah.
To be still be there putting up with the shit.
Yeah. That's absolutely real, you know, because we've, you know, kind of joked off and on, like, oh, she gonna divorce this nigga. She gonna leave his ass. And with reason, it's not, like, just been out of the blue. We've usually said it after one of his numerous antics. But I think this episode probably really shows the depth of love that she has for him. And also, you know, the gravity of mental health issues. Especially when they're untreated. We know that Kanye has been very open about his refusal to take his medication.
Like everybody's like, yeah.
Bam. That's real. That's uber real. Folks are like, what? What's real? Anyway, let's end on a positive note. September 12th, 2020 Mm-hmm. What's gonna happen on that night? Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a fight.
Who's fighting?
Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.
That's not ending the show in a positive note.
It's gonna be some slow singing and flower bringing.
Yo, somebody can fuck around and get killed. Yo, and you know, and I shouldn't be like this because, yo, I am a Roy Jones Jr. stan. Like,
that he's awesome. He's love one of Roy my Jones favorite Jr. boxes yes, ever. Yes, yes.
That's like Sugar Ray coming out of retirement.
No. But it's not even that. It's who he's coming out of retirement against. You don't come out of retirement against Mike Tyson.
I don't give a fuck how old he is.
Well, look, would you rather see that or would you rather see him fight Evander Holyfield?
Who?
Mike Tyson.
Honestly,
I'd rather have seen him fight Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Holyfield saw them training videos, too. It was like, yeah, I think, you know, I'm thinking about coming back. It would be awesome to fight.
Mike. At least Holyfield and Tyson are in the same weight class. Like, there's they're around that. The same size. Like, Tyson fighting Roy Jones Jr.? Like, come on, dog. Like, and there's never been a point in either one of them niggas' careers where they ever would have fought in the same weight class.
But here's the thing. And Roy Jones didn't fare too well the heavier he got up.
That part.
Because he lost that speed.
He lost that speed.
And boy, he walked into that Tarver right.
That nigga still seeing chickens and not the one the nigga still seeing birdies and not the chickens he raised.
Ooh, shit.
Nigga got pictures of Bugs Bunny dancing around his head and shit. The rabbits are coming home.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Imagine walking into a Mike Tyson left. No.
Oh my God. Well, they're supposed to be using oversized gloves for protection. I think they might be using headgear. I think.
I hope.
Not 100%.
There's a gentleman agreement.
For Roy's sake, I hope.
There's a gentleman agreement that they're not going to try for a knockout.
You know good. But, you know damn well.
But you can't throw some red meat in with a pit bull and not expect him to try to lock his jaws on it. As soon as that Boy, bell.
I'm about to say, as soon as Mike hear that bell. All that nigga hear in his head is, kill, kill, kill.
He's saying all the years of meditation and marijuana have not
worked out. Dr. Tam. What?
Kill,
kill, kill, kill.
I must murder him.
Kill, kill,
kill. I must dominate them.
I'm going to eat his children. Where's Allah?
All praises to Allah. Yo.
All praises to Allah.
And nobody tried to correct him either, which was probably prudent on their part. Like, you don't want to embarrass Mike on TV.
It's called self-preservation.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You don't want to correct Mike and that nigga to turn around and pop you in the mouth.
Ask Robbie Gibbons about that life.
He did not punch
Stop.
Robbie Gibbons. He didn't punch. You mean
no. Nor will we make light of domestic abuse on the Rock Solid Radio
you think
Show.
Robbie
thank
Gibbons
you.
Eating a Mike Tyson punch. No, that's a real question. Why are you laughing? That's not funny. That's not funny. Why are you laughing? Like when people say Mike Tyson punched Robbie Gibbons, and I always stop. I'm not saying Mike wasn't abusive to Robin, but we saw Mike Tyson hit niggas and new niggas were doing a Dougie on their way to the ground, dog. Like, that nigga hit Tony Tubbs and that nigga was doing a Charlie Brown all the way into the backslide, dog. Like,
oh, God, my throat hurts.
That nigga was dancing.
Oh, shit.
That's what she said.
Oh. That nigga did a little jitterbug after he got hit with that left hook. Poor Trevor Barrett was trying to get up for 2 days, dog. Every time that nigga got back up, he fell down. So you mean to tell me she ate that?
Ow!
You mean to tell me he didn't kill her?
I have real tears in my eyes right now.
Don't lie. No, America, I am not being funny with this. I'm just saying it's no need to, it's no need to overstate how bad of a person is, because this doing one bad thing. Him pushing her up against the wall is enough for domestic violence. Like, we don't need to, we don't need to exaggerate shit.
We do not. No, you're absolutely correct.
So, yeah, you mean tell me fucking boxes can't fucking boxes get knocked the fuck out and nah.
Yeah, yeah.
The chin ain't that fucking strong.
I don't know. Have you seen Robin give a shit?
I seen the chin. We're not going to talk about
the
chin. Wait,
no, this is white liquor. I'm not drinking white tonight. Oh, it's just Sprite. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Being all...
Yeah.
Being all presumptuous.
But,
shit.
But seriously, Mike might hurt Roy.
Huh?
Mike might hurt Roy.
Might?
Dog. Can you imagine getting hit with a Mike Tyson punch to the solar plexus, dog?
No.
Unexpectedly?
No.
Two things are going to happen. One, you're going to make that high-pitched girl say, ah! You know, you see in the porn the first time you come there, it's, you're going to make that sound first.
Oh,
and
shit.
And then second, either you're going to throw up or you're going to shit yourself. Like, it's...
It's one or the other.
It's coming out of somewhere. Maybe shit come out your mouth. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, but it's shooting out. Like, when you squish a hot dog together, and it just pops
out. Oh, my God, please stop.
I can't imagine getting hit in the ribs by Mike Tyson, dog. I got hit with a pitch in high school, and that shit hurt, dog. Mike Tyson throws that right 3 times faster than a high school kid could throw a fastball.
And it comes a lot closer.
I boxed a Samoan one time.
It explodes into your body, dog.
And his fist is bigger than a baseball.
I boxed against a Samoan one time.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
That was the last time that I boxed.
Right.
With a Samoan. I can see you go out boxing, just don't box.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't box a Samoan.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a Tongan.
I think Mike Tyson can win the world championship.
That would be fucking awesome. I would be a happy camper.
All right. We got anything else today before we go ahead and sign off for the week?
Nope. I don't have anything else.
Nah. Ain't no need to talk about Woody Johnson's bitch ass.
Fuck that dude.
Fuck that.
August made the song.
No, did we talk about that last week?
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah. And we talked about how that was basically as bad as Ray J doing I Hit It First.
Oh.
I forgot all about that song.
And he gets the fuckest of fuck niggas on the song. Rick Ross.
That nigga put Maybach music on.
I'm about to say Stay Back music.
The only, I've said this before, I will say it again, the only thing hot about Rick Ross or Maybach music is the voice saying Maybach music. That's it. That's all.
And on that note, it's the Rock Solid Radio Show.
We gotta get a shorty to say it's Rock Solid.
Rock Solid Radio.
No, not you.
Oh, not, no, no, I know.
Not you.
Yeah, no. I'm not an old Johnny girl.
The fuck?
You didn't see Ray?
I about to say, I know what she's talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the Rock Solid Radio Show. Coming at you from the
Someone's a little tongue-tied.
Coming at you, not yet. Coming at you from the Rock House.
Nasty.
It's your boy Ubiquitous, Dr. Tam.
Peace out, y'all.
Todd Digger.
Peace.
We go.